الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله All praises are for Allah Azza wa Jalla We thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for the blessings and for the favors which He has given to us We thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala our Creator our Lord our Sustainer and our Nourisher for the health and for the iman which he has given to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our feet firm upon the iman, upon the religion of truth, the religion of Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us to leave this world with iman and to meet him with iman. In last week's discourse, we had ended up with How do we behave with respect to two different categories of people who are known as the forerunners of Islam? As-sabiqoon, those who were the first people to accept Islam, and those people to come after them. It is normally the human tendency that sometimes, because of the way we are, na'uzu billah, except that we make our Islam, we reform ourselves, the things that are not conforming to what we believe in or what we say, we tend to oppose it most of the times without knowledge. And this brings about an attitude of Muslims to openly criticize and condemn the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, as he was speaking in last week's discourse, he was sent to the whole of mankind to give the message of Islam, which is a universal way of life. It is Allah who had chosen his disciples for him. It is Allah who had chosen for him a place where he must first start his message. It is Allah who has chosen the people who will be his first addressees. This did not happen just like that, coincidentally. So therefore the people who were known as the Arabs, the people from among the Muhajirin, and then after the people from the Ansar, they were people that Allah has chosen to be the recipient of this knowledge which came from Allah. So Allah had blessed them. And they were people, though they did not have much of the material and the physical world, they had love, they had iman, they had tawakkul, they had yaqeen. And these are the things they had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used so that they will become the vessels of guidance for mankind after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they stood by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever they had given for the sake of Islam. Because of that, Allah honored them. Allah honored them in many verses of the Holy Quran by announcing the fact that He is well pleased with them. They have earned His pleasure. They worked for his pleasure and they got his pleasure. They had iman and Allah testified that their iman was the haqq. Their iman was the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these sahabas are so great in his sight that some of them have earned jannat while they were still alive on the face of the earth. Allah had lifted their status. Allah had given them great honor. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such an honor, it is only becoming of you and I, Muslims to come afterwards, that we treat them with that honor which Allah has given to them. And we do not criticize them. And we do not condemn them. And we do not lash out against them. We do not call them by names, but we respect them and we love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all. And then after them, there were people who came following their footsteps from among their children. From among the Tabi'een and the Tabu' Tabi'een, the generation after the Sahabas, and the generation after that generation, and those people who had worked for the good of Islam, and those people who were used by Allah as instruments and medias to reach out Islam. They gave their entire lives in learning about Islam. They spent their entire life Not 5 years and 10 years, but their entire lives they have used and they have absorbed in learning the deen of Allah. This is why you will find that we read about the muhaddithin and they have learned thousands and thousands, 100, 200, 300, 600, thousands of ahadith they have learned. They have brought to memory. They have worked night and day. They have left the place, undertaken journeys for 3 and 4 months just to learn one hadith, just to learn one tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that tradition may only be one line also. But that was the sacrifice they had given. That was the sacrifice which they have given for the sake of Allah, and Allah used them as the media and the instrument whereby deen reached onto our next generation. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in every succeeding generation Allah will choose people from among that generation who will be hamiluna hadha al-ilm. They will be carriers and conveyors of this knowledge to another generation. Because the knowledge and Islam which has come, it has come to remain as the final deen of Allah. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. It will become dominant. It will become ghalib. This is the deen that will go straight up to the day of judgment. This is the deen that is the final deen. So therefore Allah will use from every generation people who will give their lives to protect the deen, people who will give their lives to learn the deen, people who will give their lives to transfer the deen, people who will sacrifice every type of comfort to learn the deen, to memorize the deen and pass it to the other succeeding generation. And alhamdulillah, 1,400 years have gone and we have witnessed that in every generation, thousands and thousands of people, some of them absorbing their youth to memorize the Holy Quran so they will pass it down to the other generation. Some of them absorbing their time and their life and their youth to learn the deen of Allah, learn the ahkam of Allah, learn the virtues of this and the virtues of that, learning the laws that have come from Allah, not caring about anything but using their life, using their youth, using their time that they have, which they can use to do many things, but they use that time of their life to do what? To preserve the deen of Allah. And the deen is their maqsad, and the deen is their priority. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to do that. Whether you do it or I do it, it must continue, and Allah will choose the people to do it. Allah has given His assurance to protect the deen. Whether you have come forward or I have come forward saying, oh Allah, I am here to protect it. Whether we present ourselves or not, the mission will be accomplished. We may not be accomplished, but the mission will be accomplished. Allah may cast us aside for our dokidam attitude, for our careless attitude towards deen. Allah will cast us aside. But to protect His deen, Allah will surely do that. And we remember the incident before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a Nabi. When people had set out to destroy the Kaaba, the house of Allah on the face of the earth, when there was not a single human being who was there to protect the house of Allah, Allah protected His house without the aid of a single human being. Allah chose another creation, the Ababil and the birds, and Allah used that creation to protect His holy house. So when Allah wishes to protect His book, which is the Quran, when Allah wishes to protect His house, which is the Kaaba, when Allah wishes to protect His deen, which is going to remain on the face of the earth forever, Allah doesn't need you and I. It is you and I who have to present ourselves for the khidmat of it and say, oh Allah, accept khidmat from me. If we don't show that, Allah has no need for us, because Allah is ghaniyun anil alamin. Allah has no need for the whole world and for all the people of the world. Allah has no need. Allah will do things in the way He sees fit, but the mission will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. So whether you are here or we are here or we are not here, the deen of Allah shall surely remain. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will choose people in every generation to carry out the ilm to the succeeding generation, and it will go. Some way or the other, you and I are Muslims, we do not do it, Allah will choose a new generation. Allah will give them Islam. They will become very good Muslims. They are the ones who will sacrifice everything for the deen of Allah. They are the ones who will keep Islam to their heart and deen to their heart. And they will give their lives to protect the deen. And you and I may just look and say, well, we are not ready for it. But Allah will do what He must. It is you and I who have to present ourselves for the khidmat of the deen. So therefore, the maqsad and the gist of it, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, is that Allah had used people, and those people were so sincere to Allah that those people had given their every single thing for the deen of Allah. Look what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal had to do. He got flogged day and night. He was placed in a dungeon. He was placed in a dark cell that for months he never saw the light. He was taken out because he was upholding the true deen of Allah. Horses were made to trample upon him. He was dragged in the streets in the city, but yet he will not give up and he will not move away from that what he stood up upon. He was so poor that even his friends from among the other great muhaddisin, it is mentioned, the great muhaddis Abdul Razak, the author of the book called Musannaf Abdul Razak, when he saw Imam Ahmad in the state, that he was so poor that he had one garment with him. That one garment he had with him, that it had so much patches that he was ashamed to come out of the house, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And when they realized that this was his state, his own friends who were great scholars, they came to him begging him to accept something. He says, no, I will not accept anything. I don't want anything from you. Eventually he accepted one dinar, one gold coin he accepted. And when that was given, he says, but listen, I am paying you, I am repaying you this, and the manner I will repay you is I will write a whole book and give it to you, so that it will not be like you have done ihsan upon me, I am giving you something in return. That was the state of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. When Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal passed away, Imam Bukhari has recorded the statement of another great scholar who said, if Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was sent among the Israelites, Allah would have surely chosen him to be a Nabi. The sacrifice he made. So these people, this was just one example of the sacrifices they had given. Unlike that, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Awza'i, Imam Bukhari himself was expelled from different cities to such an extent that he made dua to Allah that Allah will take him back. He was expelled from his own city, Bukhara. He was expelled from Samarkand. Wherever he went, he had trials. The people did not want to listen to him. But we know very well, in his time, there was no greater muhaddis than Imam Bukhari, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith. He was the leader of the believers in the field of Hadith. But yet the people didn't want him. They turned him away. Before he can arrive, the message is sent from the king, go away, we don't want you to come here. He was placed to a severe amount of trials. Eventually, it was the night preceding Eid, when he was on the back of his animal, he says, Allahumma, O Allah, your earth is so wide, but your earth, zaqat alayya arduka, your earth has become very tightened for me. There is no place for me to go, Allah. No one wants me, O Allah. Faqbidni ilayka, O Allah, take me back to you. On the animal he was going, he passed away right there on the animal back. Subhanallah. Every city he turned to, they did not. We know about Imam Bukhari to be very great, but we are not aware of the trials Imam Bukhari had. Ajib. Trials. And it is all these trials these scholars went through for the sake of dunya? No. Did anyone pay them to do that? Did they get a salary for doing that? No. Only for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah. So therefore, when such people had given their lives for the deen of Allah, Allah had accepted their efforts, and Allah has seen that they have worked with ikhlas, then it is not fitting for you and I to condemn and criticize them. This is why Imam Tahawi made a very important point, that we do not speak about them illa bil jameel, except with things that are beautiful and good. La yuskaruna illa bil jameel. Mention should not be made among any of the Salaf al-Salihin, the pious predecessors, from among, whether they are from the Sahabas, the Tabi'in, the Tabu Tabi'in, and those that are coming after, we should never mention anything about them except that it is with goodness. Then he says, وَمَنْ ذَكَرَهُمْ بِسُوءٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى غَيْرِ السَّبِيلِ. And whosoever mentions any one of them with bad words and ill words, he is not upon the part of the believers. He is not upon the part of the believers. So that was the note and the point we ended with last week. And that is a very important thing you and I have to understand as Muslims, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. We have to be very careful when it comes to using our tongue to lash out, to criticize the great scholars of the past. We have to be extremely careful. An opinion may oppose an opinion that is based on the way people looked at it and the ahadith they have collected and their ijtihad they have looked at it. It does not give you and I any permission to attack anyone and say this one was on dhalalat and misguidance and that one was like that. They have worked sincerely for the sake of Allah and Allah accepted them to such an extent that their names are known as respectable names in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having highlighted that, Imam Tahawi mentioned a very important point again, which we will discuss, and that is regard with respect to a person's love, extreme love that he may have for another one. There were, as I said in the beginning, Imam Tahawi in his book, as well as other scholars, remember many of the books of Aqaid were written at such a period that many deviations came about. Many deviations. Those people came about who denied the Qadr of Allah. Those people who came about believing in Jabr, that a man is forced to do what he's doing. Those people who came about believing in Imamat, in the Imam, the 12 Imams who have the same status of Anbiya's. People coming about believing they are prophets after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during the course of time, the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah did write books on Aqidah refuting all these things, so that the Muslims will always know what they're supposed to believe in and what are the correct things they need to believe in. That is very important. Very, very important. That as Muslims, we must always know. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim." It is essential upon every Muslim to know, to learn, because when we do not know, we are easily misguided. When we do not know, whatever a person says to us, we will tend to believe it when we see some logics and reasoning in it, because we do not know. So whenever we do not know, we are always in a vulnerable state to be misguided. Because we do not know, but when we know, then we will be able to identify that when that person is saying it is wrong. And this is the correct thing. So it is very, very important, and this is what the scholars have done. So therefore, like other books, like Fiqh al-Akbar of Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad also have written a book on the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, and many people have written books like that, and they have always indicated to certain deviated beliefs and trends which came up at their time. So during the course of time, in the very early times also and coming after, people, obviously among people, there will always be certain people who have a very, very high level of taqwa and piety, and because of their great amount of ibadat, their great amount of tawakkul and taqwa, reliance on Allah, and their piety, you know, they are able to reach close to Allah, and they are really close to Allah. People recognize them as being people with good akhlaq, you know, respectable people, honored people. They are people who are known as awliya because of the fact that we see, alhamdulillah, good from them, and we think good about them. All these things, you always have people of this caliber in every generation, who in Arabic they will always be referred to as a wali of Allah. The translation given for wali in English, saint, meaning a very pious person, a wali of Allah. He has been absorbed in the ibadat of Allah, and he is very, very good. He's a zahid. He doesn't have any need and inclination to the worldly affairs. His iman and yaqeen in Allah in the hereafter is so much, just like Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala. Just like Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala. And many of the scholars adopted this path. Hassan Basri alayhi rahma, Imam Ahmad himself, Abdullah bin Mubarak, subhanallah, very, very great, pious people, whose entire life was absorbed in the deen. Alhamdulillah, this is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran says, Allahu yajtabi. Allah makes ijtiba. Ijtiba means that he pulls towards himself whosoever he wishes. But then, during the course of time, a type of ghulu started to take place. Extremism and exaggeration, where a person will now turn to such people in the community who may be known as a wali or awliya, to such an extent that the words of the wali now becomes more important to them than the words of a nabi. And the love for a wali becomes more important to them than the love for a nabi. And their lives are now conducted in accordance to what that person who they look towards as being a wali of Allah more than a rasul or a nabi of Allah. And it did happen. So therefore, there was a group in the past who used to call themselves the group of Ittihadiyah. You know, it means that a person who does, they believe that a person, through his excessive ibadat, he comes one with Allah. Muttahidun billah. He becomes one with Allah, and there is no reason now to look at any Nabi and the teachings of any Nabi, because they are one with Allah. Then we did have also other people from among the Rawafiz who started to attribute a type of divinity to the imams they have chosen, that they have regarded their imams higher than Anbiya's of Allah. It is in the books of the Rawafis and Shiaism, especially the Ithna Ashari and the Twelvers. It is documented in the books. It's not something that is hidden. That the Imam has the darja and the status of a Nabi and even above a Nabi. It is written here. Imam Tahawi makes rad against that type of attitude and that type of belief. So he says, we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at, our conduct, our approach, our attitude, our aqidah, our belief and our thoughts about these things is this: وَلَا نُفَضِّلُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Subhanallah. He says the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat will never ever grant more virtue or prefer any one of the walis of Allah above any Nabi of Allah. That cannot happen. Any wali of Allah cannot be higher than a Nabi of Allah. That is not our aqidah as Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And he makes it very clear as to what we're supposed to say. وَنَقُولُ. And we say, نَبِيٌ وَاحِدٌ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. One Nabi is greater than all the awliyas put together. One Nabi. And Nabi is honored with the kalam of Allah. And Nabi is honored with the choice of Allah. Allah has chosen him to be a Nabi. Subhanallah. And Nabi is honored with that sharf and that mansab and that status in the sight of Allah. So what he's saying, that all the awliyas put together, they cannot equal to one Nabi, even if it is such a Nabi who never got scriptures from Allah, who never got a deen from Allah, who never got a sharia. But once he is in the fahris and the nameless or the list, that he is a Nabi, but he is higher and greater than all the awliyas put together. So that is how we look at it. So awliyas, alhamdulillah, we have discussed that in the beginning. Awliya ar-Rahman, under the topic of the Awliya of the ar-Rahman, we have spoken about who is a wali and the maratib. But all of these things put together, we cannot make so much ghulu. We cannot be so extreme in our love for any one of those people who are very close to Allah, who probably might be called a saint, who is a muttaqi. We cannot adopt such an attitude and approach to him in a manner that we think of him above a Nabi of Allah. The Holy Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. A Rasul is sent that he shall be obeyed. Subhanallah. So who you must obey? A Rasul. So all the Anbiyas that have come to you, the purpose that Allah has sent them to you is that you may obey them. So sometimes people may, in their heart, out of their ibadat and their trust and their taqwa and everything they do, they may reach a stage where they have deep love for Allah. They have great love for Allah. The love of Allah has actually taken root in every cell, part and particle of their hearts and their bodies. But that does not mean that the teachings of any particular Nabi, it becomes now irrelevant to that person. It does not mean that. This is why the Holy Quran ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to the people, قُلْ, say to the people, O my Prophet, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you people claim to love Allah, and your love for Allah is so much, then a sign that you will show, something you have to do that you will prove you really love Allah, is that you must follow me. You cannot love Allah so much that you forget I am a Rasul of Allah and forget my teachings. No. Because it is through my teachings you can have sahih love for Allah, correct love for Allah, true love for Allah. Because true love for Allah can only come about when we are ready to follow and obey the teachings which Allah has given to us. And through these teachings we are able to reach close to Allah. But if we are doing wrong things, and still we believe we have the love for Allah, then that love is false, because the true love for Allah, it leads a person to be obedient to Allah. It leads a person to be obedient to Allah. So the mafhum and the gist of that is that if anyone claims to love Allah excessively, and he claims to love Allah so much, he cannot overlook the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fattabi'uni. The Rasul is saying, you must follow me. Allah has commanded him to say, whatever I have made halal, it is halal. Whatever I have said, it's haram. Your taqwa, your piety, your love for Allah cannot make that haram thing halal now. You must obey what I say. Then when you follow me, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Then when you follow me, Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. So a very, very important lesson is drawn in this ayah. That when the claim is made of the love of Allah, when anyone claims to love Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should love more than anyone. Allah's love must be so much that the Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those people who believe, their love is so much for Allah that the love is actually overflowing in their hearts. So much love we must have for Allah. Now, how should we, or what should we do with that love? We cannot take things in our own hands, and we cannot form our own opinions about the ahkam and the laws and the teachings of Islam, but we must follow the teachings which have been given to us in the Sharia. No one is above the Sharia. No one. No one is above the Sharia. No one is above the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Absolutely no one. The Rasul was the greatest Rasul, the greatest Nabi, Mahbub Allah, the most beloved of Allah. Had there been anything that would have been given as a concession or excuse, it would have been for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a person claims that salat is no longer compulsory upon him because he is very pious and he loves Allah, this is not a wali, this is a shaitan. Because the Rasul of Allah, even in his deathbed, salat was not ma'af and forgiven from him. Huh? He is experiencing the last moments of his life. He allows Abbas and Ali, putting one hand on one shoulder, putting the other hand on the other shoulder, he allows himself to be dragged to the masjid to perform salat. He sits behind Abu Bakr performing salat, but yet he does not see that salat is excused for him in that state. He's a Rasul of Allah, and that is not with him. What? How can it be possible or permissible for anyone? So therefore, although we are saying that the Nabi, one Nabi is greater than all the awliyat, we as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do accept the fact that there are bondsmen and servants of Allah who are close to Allah, who are muttaqi, who are pious. They might be awliyas, they are saints of Allah, wali, a close friend of Allah. Yes, we accept that. Allahu alam, Allah knows, we don't know that. Allah is the one who sees the heart. So since we accept that, there is something called karamat and miracles of the awliya. We, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, do not dismiss miracles of the awliya of Allah. But we believe in them also. We believe in them. This is why Imam Tahawi says, وَنُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْ كَرَامَاتِهِمْ. And we believe what comes from the karamat of the awliya. Literally, whatever comes from the miracles of the awliya, whatever Allah causes them to perform, from extraordinary actions, unusual actions, actions that are not usual, conforming to the habit, they are called karamat, and we, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'at, we believe in them. We do not dismiss them. وَمَا صَحَّ عَنِ الثِّقَاتِ مِنْ رِوَايَاتِهِمْ. And whatever is sahih from authentic and reliable narrators coming from their statements, we believe in these things. So one position that can be adopted by people is that if a great wali of Allah, a saint of Allah, someone who Allah has chosen, and miracle occurs, a person develops an attitude, well, that person was not a Nabi, how can miracle occur? This might be the opinion of another sect of people, but it's not the opinion and the attitude of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So therefore, there are many people. As I said before, to Allah they are known as awliya, Allah's awliya. وَأَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ يَا أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ. These people, Allah allows certain things to occur which other people cannot do. These things are called karamat. Now, a prophet, there are three words used in the Arabic language to distinguish between those unusual and extraordinary actions that can come from a person. Prophets perform miracles. And the reason that Allah allows a prophet to perform miracles is to make his nabuwat and prophethood evident and firm amongst the people, so that the people will know very well that this man is a man from Allah, he's speaking the truth, so he can perform a miracle. The people ask for miracle, miracles are given. In Arabic, whatever comes from the hands of a Nabi, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed many miracles, Musa alayhi salam performed many miracles, Isa alayhi salam performed many miracles, which we all believe in. Many of the Anbiya's performed miracles. Allah caused them to do those miracles. It occurred bi-iznillah, with Allah's permission. Allah is the doer of every single thing. This in Arabic is called mu'jaza, acts of wonder. Acts of wonder, miracles. Mu'jaza in Arabic, mu'jaza. And it is done and it is caused to happen through the hands of a Nabi. So it will lay emphasis and it will lay strength on the nabuwat and the prophethood of that prophet. Sometimes these actions are done by people who are not anbiyas. They are not prophets. But they are people who are on the straight path. They are people who believe in Allah. They are people who are obedient to Allah. They are people who love Allah. Their actions are conforming to the Sharia and the deen of Allah. They do not get themselves involved in haram actions. Certain actions emanate from these people. These things are also known as miracles in the English language, but in Arabic they are called karamat. Karamat is the plural of karamatun, coming from the word karuma yakrumu, karama. And karuma, it means to honor. And Allah allows these occurrences and these unusual actions to occur as an honor to them. As an honor to them, subhanallah. And it may build their yaqeen that in the type of life they have adopted a zuhud, yani leaving, becoming, avoiding, becoming intermingled with this world and turning more towards hereafter and turning more towards the love of Allah and becoming absorbed in those actions that will help a person after he passes away. When these things occurs, it builds more yaqeen in his heart. It builds more yaqeen in his heart. And we believe the karamat of the awliya, it is haq, it is evident, it is the aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, because the Sahih of Imam Bukhari mentions quite a number of things where it occurs, you know, that people who were not anbiyas, even during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and many miracles were performed. During, among the Sahabas, Imam Bukhari has recorded a tradition where these two Sahabis came out from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam late in the night. It was after Isha, the place was pitch dark, and they started to walk. The place was very dark, they could not see. And automatically, yani automatically means right there and then, two lights came in front of them, like if someone in our days will call it a torchlight, that someone was showing them a light. And when each of them reached a junction where they had to go their separate way, one light remained with each person. When they reach at home, the light disappeared. Subhanallah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is the masjid, is given the khutbah, and he's able to get a vision of what is taking place with Sariya and his army. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, many things occurred with him. The Holy Quran speaks about that also. Maryam was not a prophet. She was not a woman prophet. But what about the miracles that occurred with her? Besides the birth of Isa alayhi salam, Zakaria kullama dakhala alayha al-mihrab wajadaha indaha rizqa. She is still a young child growing up. There is nothing about a miraculous birth. She is in one room at the side of Masjid al-Aqsa because she is placed there to do the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. Zakaria alayhi salam is her caretaker. Zakaria alayhi salam leaves the room and he locks the door. No one can come in. When he opens the door and he enters, fruits out of season, fruits are there. He can't imagine, he can't understand, where are these things coming from? So the Quran itself is speaking about that kullama dakhala alayha al-mihrab, whenever Zakaria entered there, he wajada indaha rizqa, he saw sustenance which he never brought and the door was locked. So he said, oh Maryam, where are you getting all these things from? Who is bringing all these things? Who is entering this room? Where are you getting? She says, these are from Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate Allah. Subhanallah. So miracles started to occur. The Quran, why the Quran revealed about Surah Al-Kahf? The sleepers in the cave, were they Anbiyas? Were they prophets? They were not prophets. They were youths who believed in the right religion. And Allah protected them. And Allah caused a miracle to occur by sending them in the cave, causing them to sleep for approximately 309 years. And after 309 years, Allah got them up. They got up in the same state they went to sleep. No gray hair, no long body, no feeble body. Subhanallah. They started to walk about. They went to the city and they purchased. So they were not Anbiya. So karamatul awliya, they are close people to Allah. They are wali in the sight of Allah. The ahadith also spoke about people in the cave, the three people who entered the cave, and they began to make dua to Allah. And every time one made a dua to Allah, the stone shifted again. And there are so many things that the ahadith have spoken about. So therefore, all these things shows us that miracles are not only confined to Anbiyas. Because all these people that we have mentioned, they are not Anbiyas. But these things did occur. So this is why the correct aqidah of a Muslim is that aqidah which the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And why is it called the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat? Because it is the aqidah that Sahabas aligned themselves with, and it is the aqidah that is evident from the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that miracles that are performed by great servants of Allah, they are haq and they are evident. We believe that they are evident. However, miracles of such a nature that they do not bring about a person's attitude and conduct in that he's actually assuming any divine attribute of Allah. So therefore, if a person begins to make a claim that he knows the future, no, that is not. It can't happen. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is commanded by Allah as a Rasul to say, لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. No one knows the unseen except Allah. No one knows the future except Allah. So anyone who is rightly guided and they are pious and righteous, they would never ever make such a claim. They will never do that. But they will stick to the message of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their lives will be guided by the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we believe in their karamat. We believe in what they have, the miracles that occur from pious and righteous people, the awliya of Allah. And then there are certain unusual happenings that occur from the hands of people who are not believers. They are not believers, but it occurs. So people may look at it and say, well, that person has performed a miracle. So therefore, in Arabic, it is called istidraj and sihr. Anyone who does certain things that are called extraordinary actions and not conforming to his normal customs, you know, and other human beings cannot do it, and it emanates from the end, but they are not on the path of truth. They don't believe in Allah. They are not believers, but it is happening. That is called sihr and istidraj. Sihr means witchcraft, a charm, and magic. Now, magic is not a miracle. Magic is not a miracle. That is called magic. And istidraj means a persuasion. He's persuading you in this manner. So therefore, when Musa alayhi salam met with the sorcerers to compete with them, what the sorcerers did was magic, was sorcery. What Musa did was a mu'ajizah and a miracle. That's the difference. He was on haq, they were on batil. Whatever comes from the path of haq, it is karamat, it is mu'ajizah. Whatever comes from the path of falsehood, it is witchcraft, it is a charm, it is a magic, it is sorcery. So therefore, so many people who are not believers in Allah and they are on the wrong path, they are doing so many things that normally it looks to be wonderful actions and actions that other people can do. My dear respected brothers and sisters, these things are magic. They are not permissible to believe in. It's not permissible to be entertained by these things, to be around those things, to look at them. They are totally haram because it is sihr and nothing else. Witchcraft, magic, sorcery, and all these things are totally haram in Islam. Haram is not permissible to do. Haram is also not permissible to witness and to be a part of. So therefore, we should never find ourselves being entertained by these things, which amounts to sihr. So we believe in these things. That is our iman. That is the way that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat looks at karamat of the awliya. Furthermore, certain signs of the hour of judgment mentioned in the Quran, mentioned in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very, very important part of our belief. Signs of the hour of judgment. There are two signs, and this is what Imam Tahawi refers to, and all the other books of Aqaid has also indicated to. He says, وَنُؤْمِنُ we, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we believe, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَشْرَاتِ السَّاعَةِ, we believe in the signs of the hour of judgment. مِنْ خُرُوجِ الدَّجَّالِ, we believe in the emergence of the Dajjal and the Antichrist. We believe the Antichrist will come out. وَبِنُوزُولِ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and we believe in the descent of Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the heavens. We believe in that. وَبِتُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, and we believe that the sun will come out and it will rise from the point where it set. It will rise from the west. We believe that. And we also believe وَبِخُرُوجِ الدَّبَّةِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ مَوْضِعِهَا, and we believe in the coming out of the beast of the earth from its place. We believe these things. These things that Imam Tahawi has mentioned are all connected to those things that are known as the major signs. The major signs are the closer signs, those signs that are qareeb. There are two set of signs, the major signs and the minor signs. And the scholars have agreed that all those signs that occur from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Imam Mahdi, they are all known as the minor signs. But from the time of the coming out of Imam Mahdi until the day when the trumpet shall be sounded, all these signs are known as the major signs. The minor signs are many, and many of these signs have already become rampant. In fact, the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was a sign of the hour of judgment. In one tradition, he put his two fingers together, the small finger, the index finger, and the middle finger, and he put it close together. And he says, "Ana wa sa'atuka hataini," me and the hour of judgment are like these two fingers. Immediately after me, it's the hour of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed a miracle, the splitting of the moon. The Quranic ayah was revealed, "Iqtarabat as-sa'a wa shaqqa al-qamar," the hour of judgment has drawn near, and the moon has split asunder. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned many things. He has mentioned about the incidents that will occur, the different types of battles that will take place, the deviation of many people. All these things have come to pass. He has spoken about the Khilafat will occur for 30 years. 30 years past, it occurred. He also mentioned at such and such time, a youth will ascend the throne and there will be a great amount of fitna. That also came to pass. And all those things. But besides that, he has mentioned many other signs which we are seeing. For example, he said one of the signs of the hour of judgment is that knowledge will be lifted and jahalat will become widespread. Ignorance will become widespread. A sign of the hour of judgment is that righteous ulamas and good ulamas and the good scholars will be taken back by Allah, and there wouldn't be righteous scholars anymore. People will take jahal as their leaders. People will take ignorant one as their leaders. These ignorant people themselves will be misguided. They will misguide others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, intoxicants will be consumed in abundance. Widespread consumption of intoxicants in every place, in every shop, in every city, that is occurring. He said the widespread zina, adultery and fornication, every single thing, it's there. Widespread nudity. He said, sanafani min ahli nar lam arahuma. He said, two parties from the fire of Jahannam, I have not seen them yet, but they will come. They will come. He says the first party, nisa'un ariyatun kasiyatun ru'usuhunna ka'asnimatil bukht. He says one party are those women who are clothed but yet they are naked. Ma'ilatun mumilatun. They will be inclined towards men and they will attract men towards them. Their heads will resemble the humps of camel. This will be the style of their hair at that time. These people, this is one group. He says the other group, it's people, in their hands will be weapons. He says in their hands will be weapons. They will roam about the earth killing people for no reason at all. He says these two groups will come. He says these people will not even smell the fragrance of Jannat. And these two groups have passed, and these two groups are here. He spoke about it. He said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لا يدر القاتل فيما قتل ولا يدر المقتول فيما قتل. A time will come when the murderer will not know why he is killing, and the murdered one will not know why he has been killed. That has also come, and that is here. He said, musical instruments, widespread musical instruments. It is there. Dancing women, singing women, on the loose. That is here. All these signs. He says, trials one after the other. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, storm one after the other. Oppressive, unjust leaders will come about. One after the other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted. He said, a man will disobey his mother, and he will obey his wife. He will reject his mother, and he will take his wife as a priority. This is a sign of the hour of judgment. He says, a man will become angry with his father and take his friend above his father. He said, that's a sign of the hour of judgment also. One after the other, he has highlighted. These are known as the minor signs of the hour of judgment. But a tremendous amount of these signs are apparent, as you and I have witnessed and we are still witnessing. A tremendous amount of signs. In details, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have gone. He also spoke about the major signs. Major signs, it means when these things start to happen, then when some of these signs really come to pass, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا ينفعوا نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل. That no iman, believing, will not help. Tawbah will not help at that time. It means the time for iman has passed. The time for repentance have already passed when these major signs start to occur. One of the first major signs that will occur is the coming out of the Mahdi, Imam Mahdi. The manifestation of the Mahdi. The emergence of the Mahdi. And the belief in the Mahdi, it's a belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Mentioned in many authentic traditions, that there is absolutely no ikhtilaf among the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat with respect to the coming out of the Mahdi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, narrated the tradition, and he made rafa of it. Yani the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, لو لم يبقى من الدنيا يوم واحد, if there only remains one day again for the world to exist, طول الله ذلك اليوم, Allah will cause that day to be very, very long. And when Allah makes that day very long, فَيَبَعَثُ فِيهِ رَجُلًا مِنِّي أَوْ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي, Allah will send a man from among me or from among mine Ahlul Bayt, from mine household. يُوَاتِعُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي, his name will conform to my name. He will be named Muhammad. وَإِسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمَ أَبِيهِ, and the name of his father will also be the name of my father. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْتًا وَعَدَلًا, that man will come out and he will fill the world with justice and fairness. كَمَا مُلِعَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجُورًا, just as the world before his coming would have been filled with injustice and oppression and tyranny, he will replace those things with justice and fairness. That man will come. So his name will be Muhammad. His father's name will be Abdullah also. And according to other riwayats, his mother's name will be Amina. This riwayat is recorded by Imam Tirmizi and Imam Abu Dawud. Imam Abu Dawud also goes further to mention the other tradition where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umm Salma, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-Mahdiyu min Athrati, the Mahdi is from my family. Min Wuldi Fatima, he will come from the children of Fatima, his daughter. Mahdi literally means the guided one. Abu Dawud has recorded this other tradition. So, and there have been many guided people who came on the face of the earth. But the Mahdi which is spoken about in these traditions refer to a particular person that Allah will send at a certain time. And his coming will be one of the major signs of the hour of judgment. His coming will be at a time when the world will be filled with a great amount of injustice, oppression, havoc, mischief, corruption. And the believers, they will be on the receiving end. The believers will be under a great amount of oppression. And the believers will be looking at every corner for someone to take them out, for some leader to be on their side, for some leader to rescue them. They will be weeping, they will be crying, they will be killed, they will be murdered. Persecution, torture. And in this situation, at the right time when Allah decides, Imam Mahdi will come. Imam Mahdi will be born in Medina, and he will be seen in Makkah when he's at the age of 40 years. It is recorded in traditions, quite a number of traditions speak about Imam Mahdi, that the ulamas of Syria and Iraq will be the first to take bayat and allegiance, swear the oath of allegiance, to accept the Imam Mahdi as their leader, and they will accept him as their leader. And then his rulership and his rule and leading will take place first of all in the Arab continent. People will begin to recognize, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him power. Allah will inspire him. Allah will give him victory in everything he undertakes. He will be inspired by Allah. He will have no fear for no power or no one on the face of the earth. And whosoever there is on the side of tyranny and oppression, the Mahdi will take the Muslims and go against those people. There will be different groups who will be, but only one group will succeed. There will be a group who will be, but will run away on their heels. There will be another group who will go on their own, and they will defend themselves wherever they go. And there will be one group of the true Muslims who will remain throughout with the Mahdi. And it is during the time of Imam Mahdi that Dajjal will emerge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Imran bin Hussein is the narrator of this tradition. He says, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqul, I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Ma bayna khalqi Adam ila qiyami sa'ati amrun akbaru min ad-dajjal. He says, from the time Adam was created until the day of judgment, there is no affair greater than the emergence of the Dajjal and the fitna of the Dajjal. One of the greatest and the gravest thing that will, the fitna that will emerge and will come on the face of the earth, is the mischief on the, of the Antichrist. Imam Muslim has recorded that tradition from Imran ibn Hussein. A great mischief, the fitna of the Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masih ad-dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the mischief of the Antichrist. Of the Antichrist, of the Dajjal. He will be sent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about him. In one tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that Inna Allah la yakhfa alaykum, in a hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, he says, Allah is not hidden from you. The knowledge about who Allah is, that is not hidden from you. You Muslims and you believers know who Allah is. So you will know that when a man comes and he makes a claim, you know not to believe that he is Allah and he is your God. And this is the mafhum. He says, Wa inna Allah ta'ala laysa bi'awar, and Allah is not one-eyed. Allah is not one, a person, a being who sees in one eye. He says, "Wa innal Masih ad-Dajjal, however, the Antichrist, a'wara 'ayn al-yumna, he is one-eyed. What is right eye, he is one-eyed. Ka'anna 'aynahu 'inabatun ta'ifatun. He says, one eye he can't see, and the other eye is bulging out and protruding from its socket like a grape that is bulging out. He sees with that eye. So he has two eyes. One eye he can see with. That is the one that is bulging out. And the other eye, he cannot see with. He says in the riwayat recorded, that riwayat is recorded, it's narrated from Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Imam Bukhari and Muslim has recorded that. But in another tradition recorded by Imam Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Baina aynayhi maktubun kaf fa ra. Between both his eyes will be inscribed the words kaf and ra, kafir, yaqra'uhu al-mu'minun, the mu'minin, and the believers will be able to recognize it and they will be able to know it. He will say he is Allah, but the believers will recognize that he's a kafir from the words inscribed on his forehead. He will create a great amount of mischief. Many traditions speaks about Many traditions speak about it. There is one beautiful tradition that is recorded by Imam Muslim and Imam Tirmizi also from the great Sahabi Nawaz bin Sam'an radiallahu ta'ala. Nawaz bin Sam'an radiallahu ta'ala says it was the morning period. We start with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he started to speak to us about the fitna of the Dajjal. He spoke such things about it that humiliated him, that degraded him, that make him look like he was mean and inferior, and it looked like he was nothing to handle. But then the Rasul started to speak about the terrible mischief and the havoc and the destruction that that Dajjal will cause, that as soon as he started to speak about it, the Sahaba says, we started to tremble with fear. We started to tremble with fear, and we thought that this Dajjal was very close to us, this Antichrist. So we left the majlis of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we came back in the evening. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sensed that there was a certain amount of fear in us. So he said to us, what did you understand from what I said this morning? Then Nawaz bin Saman said, we said, O Messenger of Allah, you have spoken about him in such a degraded manner, we thought he was easy to handle. It was very easy. But then when you began to speak about his destruction, his mischief, and what he's going to do, we became so fearful that we realized that he's very close and we can't deal with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, he says, and there are other things I am more fearful about for you than him. There are great fitness that lie ahead of you. There are great fitness. He says, but know well. He says, if I am alive when the Dajjal comes, I will fight against him. Subhanallah. I will fight against him on your behalf. But if he comes after me, then every Muslim will have to protect himself against the fitna of the Dajjal, and Allah will be the helper of the Muslims in mine absence. This is what he says. He says, let me tell you about him. He will come as a young man. He will come from an area between Syria and Iraq. He will have curly hair, the Dajjal. He will be able to see with one eye, and the other eye will be bulging out. Yani the one eye, this one eye that is bulging out, he will be able to see, but the other eye, he is blind. He says he's very ugly, resembling a man from the Khuza'a tribe known by the name of Abdul Uzza. If I am to describe to you who he resembles, is that man by the name of Abdul Uzza. He says that Dajjal, his fitna is very severe and great. He says, O servants of Allah, fear Allah with respect to him and save yourself from his fitna. He says, if he confronts any one of you, فَقْرَوْ عَلَيْهِ فَقْرَوْ عَلَيْهِ. He says, read upon him. He says, read upon him فَوَاتِحَ سُورَةِ الْكَافِ. Read upon him the beginning verses of Suratul Kaf. This, inshallah, will be a protection for you against him. The Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, how long will this Antichrist remain? He is known as Dajjal. Dajjal comes from the word Dajjala. Dajjala means to deceive, to lie, to cheat. And he is called Dajjal because he will cheat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 30 Dajjal will come in mine ummah. Each will be claiming to be a prophet, but there will be no prophet. Ana khatimun nabiyyin la ba'd la nabiyya ba'di. I am the seal of all prophets, no prophet after me. So he called those people who claim to be prophets and they are false to be Dajjal, because they were deceiving and cheating people. This is the Dajjal that is spoken about in the ahadith that speaks about the fitna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when asked about the fitna of the Dajjal, how long the Dajjal and the Antichrist will remain, he says he will remain on the face of the earth for 40 days. For 40 days. But the first day will be like a year. The second day will be like a month. The third day will be like a week. And all the other days will be like your normal days. Nawaz bin Saman said, we said, O Messenger of Allah, the day that is like a year, will we perform the salat of one day, or what we will do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uqduru lahu." You have to estimate and perform your salat for one year. Said the Sahaba said, "How fast will this Antichrist move?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He will move as fast as the clouds move when the winds push them. He will have a large army on his right side. He will have a large army on his left side." He will be moving on the face of the earth, roaming on the face of the earth, getting more and more people. Getting more and more people. And he will go to one group and one village and one people, and he will invite them to his way, and he will say to them, he's the God and he's the creator, and the people will believe in him. The ahadith says that he will light a big fire, kindle a big fire, and he will call that Jahannam. And he will make a beautiful garden and call that Jannat. And he will put people in Jannat and put people in Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, beware. What he calls the fire is actually that which is good. And what he calls paradise is what is really the fire. He says, beware. He has a lot of tricks. He has a lot of tricks. So he will invite the people and all the people will believe. They will believe in him. He will do something and rain will start to come down on the face of the earth, on the land of the people. He will do another thing, the land will produce. He will do another thing, the animals will start to become fat, and they will produce a lot of milk. And even more so, the people will believe in him. They will believe in him. He will pass another community of Muslims. He will invite them towards him, they will reject him. He will try his best, they will reject him. They will reject him. Then he will get fed up and he will walk away. But while walking away, he will do certain things that will put them to serious trial. They will suffer from drought, from famine. The land will not produce. The animals are not producing milk. And the Muslims at that time will go through a terrible and difficult situation. They will suffer, the Muslims. The odds will be against them. The Dajjal will come to another man, a young person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, described in the riwayat of Muslim, a man who is in the prime of his youth, a believer. The Dajjal will say, do you believe I am God? The man will say, no. He will cut the person in two pieces. He will put one half of the body in one direction, the other part in another direction. The riwayat of Muslim says, so far apart that it's a distance between an archer and between his target. And then he will order the two parts to come together, and the two parts will come together walking towards him. He will say, you believe in me now? The man will say, no. He will again try to cut him, and he will not be able to cut him. And in this way, the Dajjal will be moving from one place to another place, inviting people towards him, saying that he is the God. He is God Almighty. He is Allah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, know very well, he is one-eyed. Allah is not one-eyed, so he cannot be your God. Do not fall to his fitna, and he will be creating a great amount of mischief on the face of the earth. He will be committing a great amount of mischief, destruction. People who do not believe in him, many people will fall under his fitna because they will be put to serious trials. Because he will threaten people that he will kill them. He will punish them. He will take away what belongs to them. He will do all these things. He will do all these things. And it will continue, continue, and continue during the time that Allah has allowed him. Allah has allowed him. Allah has given him this ability, which will be called istidraj. This charm and witchcraft and magic he will use as a test to the believers. But that will not last for long. That will not last for long. During, while he is still there, while that will happen, Imam Mahdi on the other side will be preparing an army of the believers to confront the Dajjal. And when he is preparing an army, he will be in Damascus. The Mishk he will be in. At that very time when he is preparing people to go and confront the Dajjal, that is the time will be the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. We as Muslims believe certain things about Isa alayhi salam. That he went through a tremendous amount of trials on the face of the earth. We believe that. He went through a tremendous amount of trials. Until the people plotted to kill him. They imprisoned him. But at that time when they wanted to kill him, we believe, as the Quran says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up in the heavens bodily. He ascended into the heaven. Allah took him up through a miracle. And Allah caused the semblance of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, to come upon another person. That person was taken, according that, you know, it is mentioned in Tafsir ibn Kathir and also the Tafsir by Imam Qurtubi. They have given the traditions where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had spoken about these things. Allah placed the semblance on another person, and that person was taken. And Isa alayhi salam was lifted bodily. And then Allah has also promised that he will come again. Because Isa alayhi salam was not an angel, and Isa alayhi salam, we believe, was not supernatural. He was not divine. He was a human being. He had a miraculous birth. And as a human being, He had to die like other human beings. He had to be buried like other human beings. The place in the heavens is not a place for burial. So Allah will send him back on the face of the earth. He will live his life as a normal human being. He will propagate the true teachings of the deen of Allah, which Allah has given to remain on the tail of, until the day of judgment, the deen of Islam. And he will deal and rule with justice and fairness until he dies a natural death. He will be buried right alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said in authentic traditions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, me and Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, we will rise together on the day of judgment between Abu Bakr and Umar, subhanallah. So at that time, when the Mahdi is making preparation to confront the Dajjal and the Antichrist, that is the very set time Isa alayhi salam will come down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will come down on the shoulders of two angels, and he will come down and he will descend on the minaret, the eastern minaret of the Jama Masjid of Damascus. These things are mentioned. Imam Muslim has recorded authentic traditions. They are there. And what do we believe about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We believe that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is as-sadiq al-masduq, the truthful one, who is testified to be the truthful one. And if all the things we do, it's because of the fact that he has ordered us, he has told us how to perform salat, we believe that is the truth. He has ordered us how to give zakat, we believe that is the truth. He has ordered us about fasting, we believe that is the truth. But about these things now, will we question it? Subhanallah. How are we going to question it? So sometimes people find it difficult to believe in these things. Oh, well, a person will come down under the Dajjal. This is why it lead other people to give a figurative interpretation of the Dajjal. And they say that the Dajjal is a whole nation. And this country is the Dajjal. And that country is the Dajjal. And that country is the Antichrist. In the riwayat recorded by Imam Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he is shabun qitatun. He is a young man who has curly hair. A nation does not have curly hair. He said he will be one-eyed, a'war, one eye, meaning he cannot see with one eye, and the eye that he can see with, it is ka'anna aynahu inabatun tawfiyatun. It is like a grape that is bulging out. Clear description of the Dajjal. That will be a man. And Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, will be sent by Allah. So he will fight the Dajjal, the Antichrist, the one who claims to be the Christ at that time and the Messiah. Isa alayhi salam. So therefore, on the basis of these traditions, it is very clear that the Dajjal and the Antichrist is not a nation. It is not a country. It is not leaders. It is not a system. But it is someone who is a human being that will emerge as indicated from the blessed tongue of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the blessed tongue of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isa alayhi salam will come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith recorded by Imam Muslim, that water will be trickling down from his hair as if he had now taken a bath. And he will come there. Imam Mahdi will want to hand over leadership to him, because at that time Imam Mahdi will be the leader of the believers. Allah has sent him to be the leader. And he will want to hand leadership over to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But Isa will say, no, my job is that Dajjal. That is my job. To take care of the Antichrist is my job. You will be the leader until you live. And that is where the army will move towards. It is stated that Isa alayhi salam, the hadith recorded by Imam Muslim, said that Isa alayhi salam will be blessed with divine inspiration by Allah. Allah will reveal to him. He is still a Nabi. Whenever Allah gives Nabuwat to a person, Allah will never cease that Nabuwat. But the mission he will be coming on is not to propagate the deen which he came at that time. He will be coming to propagate the deen that will remain on the face of the earth forever, which is the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam. So the laws that will be implemented will be the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what the laws will be, because Allah has made this deen to be the final deen, the deen that will remain forever and ever. So at that time, it is stated Allah had put a start of power, sort of power in the breath of Isa alayhi salam. That when he breathes, it is stated in that tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the breath of Isa, whenever it touched any unbeliever on the side of the Dajjal, it will kill them instantly. The breath of Isa alayhi salam. Such power Allah and effect Allah has placed in the breath of Isa alayhi salam. Jesus, when he comes, his breath, when it touches them, it will kill them instantly. And so it is stated, the hadith also states, that when the Dajjal will learn about Isa has arrived, that the true Messiah, Jesus the son of Mary, has arrived, he will begin to melt like how salt melts in water. He will become extremely frightened. And he will begin to run. He will begin to run. And Isa alayhi salam will chase him until he will meet him at a place called Babul Lud. It is a village close to Jerusalem. And there and then, Isa alayhi salam will kill him. That will be the end of the Dajjal. The Muslim army now under Imam Mahdi will fight those people who were on the side of the Antichrist. And then Allah will grant them victory. Allah will grant them victory at that time. And both Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi, and Isa alayhi salam will live. For approximately 7 years after that, the Mahdi will live. He will die. Isa alayhi salam will perform the janazah and he will be buried in Jerusalem close to the Masjid al-Aqsa, according to the riwayats which have mentioned that. Then, what will happen? Isa alayhi salam will take over as the leader. That these are signs. One, the Mahdi, as Imam Tahawi has spoken about Khuruj al-Dajjal. This is the Dajjal, that's the end of the Dajjal. And then, Nuzul Isa, the descent of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who will come down. During the time of Isa alayhi salam, Allah will reveal to Isa alayhi salam, "O Isa, O Jesus, take my servants and carry them up to the tip of the mountain, because such people will roam the face of the earth that no power on the face of the earth will be able to stop them from their transgression and mischief on the face of the earth." Such people will now roam the face of the earth that no power on the face of the earth will be able to stop them. Isa alayhi salam will take the believers to the mountain of Tur. Mount Tur. That is the time that the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj and the Gog and the Magog will break open the wall and they will come. The Quran itself describes in Surah Al-Kahf, when they will break through the wall which Zulkarnain, in that same ayah, which Zulkarnain had built, they will roam and they will move over the earth like the waves in the ocean, moving one over the other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Gog and the Magog tribes, it is recorded that they are from the progeny, they are from the children of Nuh alayhi salam, from his son Yafith. There were two such tribes who became rebellious and mischievous people during the time of Zulkarnain. And because of that, the people living in that area had begged Zulkarnain to build a wall between them and these mischievous tribes. So Zulkarnain built a wall, placed molten lead and iron into it. A wall that they could not scale, they can climb over, and a wall they could not burst through. They could not burst through. In authentic tradition, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one night he was sleeping, the riwayat recorded, it's recorded by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, that he got up and he said, "Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. I tell you about a great fitna which is about to come up." He says, "Today, the Gog and the Magog have been able to make a small hole in the wall of Zulkarnain." That was the time he said it. And they continue to scrape and dig through. They are human beings. They are the progeny from the progeny of Noah alayhi salam. They are not beasts and wild beasts looking at in a different way. They are human beings, but they are wicked and mischievous. They have strength and power. And they will roam about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, these tribes will pass over a river and they will drink out all the water of the river, to the extent that if anyone looks at the river afterwards, they will never think that it had water in that river. And they will go up the mountain and scale down the mountain, through the valleys and through the cities. They will be killing out, pillage, rampage, every single thing on the face of the earth. And they will bring great destruction, and they will wreak havoc on the face of the earth. Isa alayhi salam, with the believers on the mountain, will pray to Allah, "Oh Allah, protect us from these people. Protect us from these people and destroy them, since there is no force on the earth to destroy them." Allah will send birds. The riwayat says of Imam Muslim, Allah will send birds, their necks will be long as camels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Allah send birds, Allah will send a disease upon these tribes. And that disease will touch all of them and kill all of them, and they will be on the ground. They will be on the ground, they will be dead on the ground. All of them, so much so that when they have died, and Isa alayhi salam will take the believers from the mountain, there will not be a hand span to walk on, except that the whole earth at that time, the world that people live in, will be filled with corpses of these people, the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj, the Gog and the Magog. It is at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the birds, who will pick up the bodies with their beak, and they will throw the bodies in the sea, and Allah will cause rain to fall, Allah will cause a flood to take place, and the water will wash the face of the earth at that time. After that, peace, security, aman will come on the face of the earth again. These are some of those signs. Imam Tahawi speaks about the other sign, and he says, we also believe in the what? In the tulu'i shamsi min maghribiha, the sun will emerge, the sun will come from the west, it will rise from the west. How the sun will rise from the west? Well, what will happen? The long night that will take place, that people will panic, people will grieve, people will be in terror, and so many things will take place, that the sun will set but it's not rising. A day passes, it's not rising. Another day passes, it's not rising. Another day passes, it's not rising. Children will scream and cry. People will cry. Animals will be disturbed. There will be a great outcry by the makhluk when this starts to happen. And eventually, when the sun, it starts to rise, when Allah orders it to rise, it will rise from the west. That is another sign that will occur. Inshallah, we'll explain about it next week. We'll stop there today and we'll continue, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.